politician. Can you make a right decision for all of us? For all of us. Politician.
Ka tangi tiki, ka tangi te kaka, ka tangi hoki a hau, tihei, Māori ora, ina mana, ina reo, inga iwi o te motu, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Well, folks, we still haven't got a government. Yes, Mr. Hipkins is our interim prime minister, and the negotiations are taking place as we speak down in Whanganui Atara. But you know what? Although we might be in political limbo land, politics go on. What better place to start with local politics? Body politics, and I'm going to be talking to you right now, the mayor of the great town of Kawerau, Failing Tunui. Tēnā koe, Failing.
Oh, tēnā koe, Shane.
Nā mihi kia koe, nā mihi kia koutou. Hey, Failing, I want to talk to you about the issues that affect the town, or, you know, I haven't lived there in many years, but our town of Kawerau. But before we do that, Failing, let's just get an understanding of you, your community involvement, and what got you interested in politics?
Tēnā koe, Shane. Tātahi e ure au hau no ngā iwi o Ngāti Tū Wharetoa, Ngai Tū Hoe, Te Rarawa me Ngāti Hene. Ai ko Ngarita Tūnui ahau. So thank you for your call. Thank you for starting your political analysis of current conversations with regards to the general election with the centre of my universe, the centre of our universe with Kawerau.
Yeah.
Really always happy to open the door and be available to speak to the sons and daughters of Koroputaiwaki wherever we land in the motu, in the world. I'm always happy to have a kōrero with whanaunga who have actually been part of creating the metropolis of Kawerau that I now enjoy with my tamariki, hopefully leave some, make a good contribution, a positive contribution for the next generation to inherit, Shane. So thank you, kia ora. Lots going on. And look, I just want to acknowledge that I think one of the pātai that you had was what's on your mind every day. And you can imagine that for lots of my whānau from those four good-looking tribes that I gave homage to earlier, are really interested. This is not a word that we've come into often in our whakapapa line. Look, blessing and burden equally is how I would describe the journey that I've taken. Absolute blessing and privilege to be able to raise and lift the voices of your people. Little bit tricky when they're bang on the line, 50% leaning left and 50% leaning right, or half and half right down the line. But always a privilege to be able to sit in sub-regional Eastern Bay conversations, Bay Plenty conversations, Aotearoa conversations, so that people never forget that it's not the quantum or the amount of people that you have in your community that determines the validity of your community, and that you reach into, you know, you reach into your community, invite whānau in to give you their view. You may not always like the way that they give you their view. You may not always like what they say, but actually what's more honouring is that you're authentic in your engagement, and that your invitation is tika and pono, to invite people to
guide you. Kia ora, when people get involved in politics for all sorts of reasons, it may have been a specific spark issue that got you motivated, but for you, Failing, who was elected in 2022 as a mayor and did terms as a councillor, what first got you motivated to get involved in local body politics?
Never intended to get into politics, Shane. My truth is, in 2011, my husband, along with a number of other daddies and uncles and mamas, was laid off at our local mill here in Kawerau. And what I wanted to understand was I couldn't be convinced that nobody knew about these redundancies. I couldn't be convinced of that, and I wanted to understand who knew about it and what the strategy was. It was that. I was a desperate mama who was shifting from being a kind of part-time contributor and provider for my whare to being the number one only, because at the time my tāne couldn't provide for us. That led me to what was described as the leadership table of council. And at that time, perhaps lucky there was no live stream at the time, Shane, but I demanded to know of the leadership table. Did they know what was going on in Kawerau? Did they know of our sons and daughters that were losing their mahi? And what was the plan? What was the plan to help us out so we wouldn't lose our kāinga, our whare, our home?
Because, failing, you know, this radio show goes right throughout the motu. We to big cities like here in Tamaki Munkaira, Whanganui Atara, then smaller centres like in Kawerau or in Eastern Bay Whakatane, and then even to very small one-horse towns, for want of a better term, but quite accurate. But I think what folks, particularly who live in a bigger city, what they don't realise how important key employers are to small town Aotearoa New Zealand.
I think particularly for the whakapapa of Kawerau and how he came to be, given that Uncle Tasman. I have to say, Shane, there's not too many places I don't go that someone didn't start their career in Tasman, Kawerau. It really still blows me away in 2023 that I walk into a room, have a keynote speaker, and find that actually either, you know, often it's their grandfather or their father or someone in their whakapapa line that actually started their career here in Kawerau at Tasman Mill. So it was a huge contributor to New Zealand Inc. It was a huge contributor to lots of ethnic communities. So it wasn't just our local community that benefited. Shane, you'll be familiar, there were whānau that came across from Finland, and all the Finns came across, and Australians, and our beautiful hapori marae, Rautahi, has captured all the different whānau that come from Ngā Hauewha when Tasman started.
And, you know, there's a lot of pressure in small councils that have, you know, a relatively limited population. I think Kawerau's putting at 7,000. Interestingly enough, Selling, the town numbers are growing. People are attracted to Kawerau because of the community services that it has, that it's not far from the larger hospitals. Have you noticed that over the last little while, failing, where people were moving away and perhaps starting to move back into town?
We had a report, I believe, it may have been before my time actually, Shane, that was commissioned by, I feel like it's Natalie Jackson, that gave an analysis and described Kawerau as being a future zombie town or ghost town. In some strange way, when people deliver not nice news about your community, often that's the motivator to be able to prove them wrong, if that's a word to use. So we have bucked the trend. I can't be naive and say that, you know, housing affordability across the motu, Shane, it's not a secret. It's really tough out there. And a lot of people have come into our community around the affordability of housing. Very hard to contribute to society when you don't even have a roof over your head to start with, Shane. So we are, for whatever reason, we have bucked the trend. Our population has not diminished into nothing but Casper ghosts or Gehua, but we've actually grown, and we do have a lot of people who have either returned home, and that's a real privilege to be able to be here to receive our people back. That's the dream. Go out into the world, grow your wings, grow your skill, fill your kite and bring your basket home and help us. Aye.
So, you know, as I said, Fanny, you've got approximately 7,000 residents. Got a majority Māori population quite a young demographic. As a mayor of a town that has that sort of makeup, what sort of specific challenges does that afford you, Failing?
I like to think of opportunity, Shane. It's just how I'm wired. You will appreciate it in our sector. I'm not being naive and trying to pretend that there are no challenges, but if you don't chase what's possible, then you only focus on what's wrong and what the problems are. I do like the well-being outlay, and I believe there was a prime minister a number of years ago who simplified things in terms of describing where people live, where people work, having something for people to hope for. And I believe it was a former prime minister.
And someone to love.
Aye.
Someone to love, actually, a little bit earlier than that, Norman Kirk. Yeah, but...
Papa Norman Kirk.
Yeah, so you see those as the pillars that you and your council and the community can deliver to, for the people of Kawerau.
Absolutely. I believe if we get the first three in line, then the fourth one, you have a higher chance of actually finding someone to love and for someone to reciprocate that. It lays at the heart of everything that we do, but it's a very simplistic message that no matter how old or young, rangatahi or oldatahi, we're making up words now, Shane and Goedo, as if there aren't enough. No matter which ethnicity you may be, those are really common well-being outcomes that if you can find somewhere to live, find somewhere in which you can derive an income to provide for your family. It's more than just money terms, Shane. It's the matter of being able to hold your head high and look in the eyes of your partner and your tamariki and know that you're going to be able to provide for them. And all the things that are involved in providing work, the economic conversation for Kawerau, big industry, light industry, as in down Liverpool Street. And in our CBD area, we do have a very small, I don't know when you were last home, Shane, we do have a very small CBD area that needs some love. We need to have some conversations with the owners of those of our buildings in our CBD area. Something to hope for, absolutely, our rangatahi. Preparing them, finding pathways and showing them the way so that they have a hope that when their time comes they will be able to make their contribution both through mahi and also in their volunteer areas, our after hours, our social network. Shane, we were top town once upon a time of Aotearoa. I have every belief that we can return to that space. All the, you know, social sports contributions, we know that Kawerau were premier players in the volleyball season, well at least they were in my time when I was at high school, not that long ago, so we do have the makings and the foundations of being able to return to those really prosperous times here in Kawerau, I believe.
So, Fallon, let's just talk about some of the practicalities, because one of the issues with a small, relatively small population is you have a relatively small rate base. You've talked about the north closure, and that meant less industrial-based rates. So tell me about how you see the synergy between able to solve local problems, but the importance of a regional approach and a national approach.
Shane, I will say off the bat, really interested in, and I think there was a question about the incoming government, locally led, regionally supported, nationally enabled, and I think that lay at the heart of the PGF conversation that was occurring in our time. The practicalities, yes, Tasman did close, but we do have, and I believe it's been captured in the media, there has been, for some parts of the Norske Land site, there has been a sale confirmed, and we're very pleased to be able to support OG around the conversations they're having to develop. I think we learned some lessons, and you'll see in some of the other areas across Aotearoa where there is a reliance on one big major ratepayer, what happens when that exit time comes. Yeah. We've learned some lessons, but we've been very fortunate that instead of just one Uncle Tasman, as I knew it, that we do have the likes of OG of ECT, formerly Caxton, everyone still calls it Caxton here in Kawerau, and of Carter Holt Harvey still being here. But we did learn some lessons when Tasman, while they still owned the land at the time, or Norske Skog Tasman, that they weren't actually producing at the time, and the impact that that had on our smaller non-residential ratepayer base. And there's also been a change in the amount of overall rates contribution from non-residential ratepayers and the contribution that our residential ratepayers make in terms of our rate collect.
Because, you know, Fadina, I like your positiveness, and there are positiveness of setting up business in a town like Kawerau. You've got a access to local ports, very efficient ports in Tauranga. You've got railway access to and from that port. You've got a local power station. You've got geothermal activity that provides cheaper sources of power. And, you know, we've read recently about the local board mill in Kawerau that's been working with the University of Auckland, I think it was, to introduce dynamic work practices and processes that give a level of efficiency that leads to profitability and, from your perspective, more rates and more employment.
Yeah, more rates, more employment, more likelihood of being able to plan for your future. This is that something to hope for space that we were talking about, Shane. And I will say, look, there's been a long conversation about some of the environmental practices of yesteryear. I'm not going to shy away from that. Mm-hmm. Not sure if you're aware of the Tarawera Awa Forum that was enacted under the Ngāti Rangi Tihi settlement. And we absolutely partners in that forum, rightfully so, all the way along the full length of the Tarawera Awa. We have been speaking with our industry partners about the change in practices. What was permitted many years ago, Shane, I'm sure you can appreciate there is absolutely no way that would happen now, but there's been lots of technological advances in the way that we do things, and we've been really pleased to be able to take our iwi partners of Tarawera Awa Forum.
And I suppose the advantage that companies have is that they can be a big fish in a small pond, that where the local council, the local mayor could give them some extra, some special attention, some assistance, some help, simply given the proximity and the agility you have with a smaller bureaucracy.
Oh, absolutely. It's a more direct line of sight, Shane. I completely agree with you. That is one of the areas of strength I believe we have for the makeup of our council. It's not 8 layers of bureaucracy to be able to get through it. It's simply just go direct to and let's go and touch it, feel it, smell it, and see what it looks like today so we can get some accuracy around the conversations that we're having. I completely agree. Lays at the heart of my pride for the composition and makeup of our council.
Now, Fali, do you see a time where perhaps just because of the smallness of your council, I think it's the smallest council in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and also some of the burdening costs, you know, where infrastructure gets old and you have to replace sewage and water pipes, do you think a smallish council like Kawerau is, regional council, is sustainable, or do you think that it's inevitable that you'll be looking at some form of amalgamation with larger towns, surrounding towns?
Oh, Shane, you'll know if you walk through Kawerau, absolutely no one wants amalgamation in Kawerau. The more responsible conversation is to go out and have a look. You'll know that we're the youngest council in the country, or one of the youngest councils in the country. So our infrastructure isn't as old or aged as some of the longer-serving communities.
It is true.
So it's not like you're comparing apples to apples when you have different communities that have been there for 100-plus years. Their infrastructure would, of course, be largely aged and in need of replacement. We're having a have we rated appropriately conversation over time. So you can't replace those types of assets overnight and come up with the resourcing, the funding that's needed to replace those. It really is a long-term plan. If the assets are ideally going to be serving your community for 100 years, then you don't start collecting resources for that in the last 20, 15 years of the replacement that's needed. We do have some depreciation funds. Will there be a time? From what our team, our senior leadership team are telling us, we have rated appropriately over time. But I will put in the caveat, Shane, that again, having Tasman as it was originally and then into North East Tasman and Kara Holt Harvey, that much of the infrastructure did come from their contribution. It was a far higher contribution from our industry partners or the puffing giants or whatever they've been historically referred to. That was the lion's share at the inception of Kawerau 70 odd years ago.
So, Fanny, I want to talk about a couple of local issues. You've recently had a round of community consultation around Māori wards, and I understand that the report is due back to the council in November. You know, there are towns that have already introduced Māori wards. What has been the whakaaro around the Māori wards in a town like Kawerau that not only has a number of Māori councillors and Māori mayor, but has very strong hapu and iwi connectors?
Shane, we've had, I believe the last figures, and everyone gives me different figures, but around about 60% Māori population make up. What I will say is, I believe we had a very low participation rate, around the 42% mark in our recent 22 local body election. From what people are telling me, they still have questions about the council system itself, as much as we have such a diverse council at the moment, both in Māori representation, we have Pacifica representation, non-Māori. We have a young elected member who's around the 30 years of age mark. Not quite as young as Hama in the Waikato Hauraki area, but that's pretty young for our council.
Yeah.
As well as our whakeke. We are still collating and inviting feedback from our voices. I can tell you now from the feedback so far that I've seen, it is at both different ends of the continuum, from if it isn't broke, don't fix it, all the way through to while we enjoy what we have in 2023, what about our mokopuna of tomorrow? And if we are genuine and true in our mokopuna decision making, I think it's been described as intergenerational decision making, and that's something that we have to look at. I will also say that those who are most impacted by the decision that is being considered, that is also a voice that I'm really interested in, as in Māori. And you know that the makeup of Māori and Kawerau is not majority of tanata whenua of Ngāti Tū Wharetoa. That's the beauty of having Tasman invite all these wonderful people to come and start their careers in Kawerau, is that we have a large number of different iwi. But that doesn't minimise at all the fact that some of them have been here, some of our whānau have been here, albeit being from other iwi and tribes in Ngāhoe whā, for five generations, and they see themselves as being kaitiaki of Kawerau. So decision is next week, Shane.
Yes, decision next week. How are you going to vote, Faelene?
Oh, you won't be trapping me like that, Mr. Tepo. Today's not the day I will go through. We also have people who are speaking to their kōrero who would like to share their views. And I will also say, while it may not have been the case, we do have a māra of independent thinkers sitting at our table. So I'm very passionate about growing that, that everyone is to be disciplined and to read their reports and go out and speak to our people, find a position and a rationale behind, and we go through our decision-making processes.
Kia ora, Fanny. Fanny, just lastly, we're going to have a new government sooner rather than later, I would imagine. What is your message in terms of economic activity and growth for a place like Kawerau to nurture its own and to grow? What's your message to them?
So we've already met with our Member of Parliament here for the East Coast, yet to catch up with our Waiariki Member of Parliament. The message would be locally led, regionally supported, nationally enabled around the things that we're doing, and absolutely signalling a commitment to have more kaitiaki environmental practices for all of the businesses that we have in Kawerau, and getting in behind our businesses to make sure that if they need a hand in that, in either updating or replacing some technology, that Kawerau Council is in the right place's position well, to be able to support that. That would be my message.
Would you welcome the return of a dedicated? Would you welcome the return of a dedicated provincial growth fund?
What was that? Sorry.
Would you welcome the return of a dedicated, empowered regional growth fund?
We would support that. I understand we did host Matua Winston Peters and Papa Shane Jones here in Aotearoa around that provincial growth fund. We do have a discipline around that, Shane, which I think is fair. We had to complete some of those earlier projects that were signalled in the original round of PGF, and we can absolutely support our whānau who are part of the original PGF to be able to complete their projects so that, there's a discipline around that before we ask for a extension or a continuation that we finish the mahi that we signalled in the first place. Happy to support that.
Failing to me, the Mayor of Kawerau, thank you very much for joining me on Straight Talk tonight, and give my aroha to all of the whānau. Kia ora mana, tātou. That was Failing Tunery, Mayor of Kawerau.